It is good to see everybody here today. Hope you've had a good week. I know it's been an exciting week for many of y'all. We're rejoicing at the fact that Rachel and Talon were married yesterday, and even though some of them had a little bit of a chore getting into the park, they all made it, and they're married and on their way. So we do want to be praying for them to have a productive life in the Lord together as they begin their new life together. And then also, we're very mindful of Odessa passing. Most of y'all probably have not met Odessa unless you mowed the lawns. And then if you did that, you know Odessa very well. But Odessa had something happen to her a number of years ago that just about caused her to be afraid of leaving the house. And so she just kind of stayed in. But she was responsible probably for about 75% of the lawnmowers that the teens used through the years in taking care of the lawns for the widows. And so she was very interested in that. She was interested in the teens. And we're going to miss her. She was a gracious lady. Even though she did have some challenges that she had to meet through life. Today, I believe, if my calculations are right, is the 66th day for those who are going through the New Testament Bible study. And the idea behind that is essentially this, to take about three chapters a day and to study through the New Testament, not just to read through it. We're good at reading, and we can all pass our eyes over material, and we can even retain some of that, although some of us are getting harder and harder to retain. But the idea is that we are obligated to correctly handle the Word of Truth. How will we do that? And this is one way. You may have a better way or a way that works better for you, and I would encourage you to continue your studies in whatever way you find. But in this particular study, we're about to 2 Thessalonians, and I wanted to just kind of start in this passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, and I want to use this as a springboard for our conversation this morning about heaven. But this actually starts off by warning those who will not make it to heaven, or who are in peril of not making it to heaven. Those who maybe they think highly of God, maybe they worship on a regular basis, maybe they're even students of the Word, but for some reason the application is never really made. It never penetrates the heart. And Christianity then just becomes a part of their life rather than their life. And so as we begin this, understand that if God is not your life, if Christ is not your life, and therefore if their Word, which they is our lifeline to them, as well as prayer, if their Word is not your life, then you probably won't make it. I don't say that glibly, and I certainly don't say that as a judgment of an individual. I'm just saying if God is not the most important and Christ is not the most important thing in your life, if they are not your life, it does not look possible for you to make it. So it behooves us to do something about that, because in verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 1, He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. Now, this may be an odd place to jump into as far as our discussion of heaven, but before you can really discuss heaven, we really need to understand there is an alternative. There's only one alternative. Either you will be in heaven or this will happen. He will punish. It doesn't say He might. It doesn't give any leeway on this. And then He talks about not only the everlasting destruction, but being shut out from His presence. And so maybe this is the best place to start. The reason that God and Christ need to be our life now is because that is what eternity is all about. If you don't enjoy your service to God now, what makes you think that you would enjoy it for an eternity? And if you refuse to serve God now in His way, what makes you think that He would permit you to come and serve Him for eternity? Now, He wants you to. He loves you more than you love yourself, which is kind of difficult for some of us, but He does. And he gave the ultimate sacrifice, I believe, as did Christ, because he gave up his son. While he had the power to stop it, he also loved us so much that he knew that this was the requirement. And he allowed Jesus to die on our behalf. But for those who refuse, for those who reject Christ, this is what will happen. But as you continue to read, now notice this. Verse 10. After it talks about being shut out from his presence on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you have believed our testimony to you. Now, that's an easy passage just to kind of gloss over, but think about this. When he comes back, we're going to marvel at that. I enjoy sports. I might take them too serious sometimes, but I enjoy sports. I've enjoyed watching Texas Tech as they have been playing basketball this year for a couple of reasons. One, they've never done this well, but two, I've really enjoyed watching the press conferences afterward because they have at least two of their students who every time they talk in the press conference, it is not only with humility and with gratitude, but they give glory to God in a way that goes beyond lip service. As a matter of fact, one of them last night cleverly had a little Bible study during his press conference. I don't know if any of the reporters caught it or if it did him any good, but it was a pretty good Bible study. But the thing I've really also enjoyed about that is to watch at the end of the game, whether it's their game or somebody else's, the joy. It's like people can't believe it. They are caught up with an exaltation and a celebration. They marvel at it. Put yourself now on the final day. Perhaps you've died and are waiting for the day of judgment. Maybe you're still alive when the second coming occurs. But you're saved. Can you imagine how you will marvel? Can you imagine how nothing else that has happened in your life can even begin to approach or compare to that day when you know you are saved and your loved ones are saved? When you get to behold Christ coming in the sky? When you get to see everything that you have struggled with and sometimes failed at, but always gone back on God's terms, has come to fruition. The marvel that you will have, the joy that you will have, will not compare to anything that you could even think of today. This is what God wants us to focus on. He does not want us to be shut out from His presence, but most people will be shut out from His presence. Jesus guaranteed that. He said, wide was the path. Most would enter that gate that entered destruction. Many would. But narrow was the gate, and only few would enter to life. The odd thing is that the path to life is so well lit. It is so well marked. We are invited to it. And yet most will reject that. How are you standing before God right now? We all have important things to do in life. We have things that will distract us at times, because of our physical obligations, if we'll let them. But we have to overcome that because God does not want us to be on the other side of that. He wants us to be among those that marvel. So how can we make sure that we are? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. I love this passage because it talks about confidence. God wants us to be confident in our salvation. But most people are not. Why? Hebrews 10, 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what He's promised. For in just a very little while, let me stop and make a comment on that. I'm nearly 59. It doesn't seem that many years ago to me where I was sitting in the pews swinging my legs because they weren't long enough to touch the floor. Time goes by really quick. I look at this grandbaby in Brad's arms. It hadn't been that long since we held our children, much less our grandchildren. I remember those times well. Time goes by really quick. We get so caught up with the physical, the I don't know if it's almost a tyranny, isn't it, of the physical, the demand. You get to take care of that. That's okay. You have to take care of certain physical things. You'd be worse than an unbeliever if you didn't. But is Christ at the center of your thoughts as you take care of these things? Time goes by very quickly. In just a little while is what the writer of Hebrews says through inspiration. He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I'll not be pleased with him. That's kind of humbling because we all know that from time to time we have shrunk back. We have met with this displeasure, caused this displeasure to God. Are you there now? Do something about it. And then he goes on to say this, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Do you see the confidence that is there? The writer of Hebrews is not claiming that he deserves this. He's just saying, we have this confidence. We're not going to shrink back. We are going to be saved, is what he's saying. That is his intent. We have to have that intent. I've never seen, well, I've got some family, actually they're in-laws, but they're about to go to Europe. It's not going to be by accident that they're going to Europe. They have planned this. They've talked about it. They've set the money aside. They have taken the time off. They are not accidentally going to Europe. It takes something to do that. But if you were to ask them, are you going to Europe this summer? They would say yes. These are our firm plans. But isn't it interesting when we talk about heaven, if you ask somebody if they're going to heaven, well, I hope so. Now, if we use hope from a scriptural standpoint, that's all right. Hope is something that is a longing expectation, is the way the Greek word is rendered. But the way so often we use the word hope is it's a wish, kind of wispy. Hope so. No. We don't throw away our confidence. We are not those who shrink back, but we are of those who believe and are saved. Are you of those people? I'm not asking you if you are arrogant enough to think that you believe that you deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God is faithful. If you're faithful, it's guaranteed. It's the only missing part. God's faithfulness will not change. So if God has promised us heaven under certain conditions, not that we're earning it, but we can sure earn the other one, can we not, by failing to meet those conditions? But if we meet them, oh, we're saved. And that changes our outlook on life. We don't worry so much about our health. We don't worry so much about money. We don't worry at all about all these things. We have concerns. But what a joy. Are you going to heaven? John chapter 14 and verse 1. I love John chapter 14 because when we read about Thomas, we read about somebody who, I don't know about you, but he's like me. He's worried about missing the way. And so when Jesus, who's breaking the news to them, he's about to die. He's about to leave them. He says this, John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Think about that for a moment. Does anyone know your heart and your soul better than God and Christ? And yet Christ is going to prepare a place for us. We're getting a house ready for Mom. It's been really interesting to watch this because different people in the family and different friends have come by and have made suggestions about what will make it nicer for her, more functional, easier for her to live in. The plumber and the electrician, they don't even know her, have been looking at ways to make Mom's life easier. They're wanting to make this just so for her. Those in her family love her and we want to make it just so for her. We're making it nice. Can you imagine what Christ is doing for us? Not only is he going to make it nice, if that's a strong enough word, but he even knows the things that we don't know that will make this place more glorious than we can imagine. He's gone to prepare that place for us. What a shame it would be to miss that, wouldn't it? If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. And this is where Thomas jumps in. If I had lived during this time, it could have said Rick, except for I don't think I would have been one of the 12. I don't want to put myself on that, but I can sure identify with Thomas. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? I think this is Thomas' way of saying, how? Tell me exactly how. I don't want to miss this. You say I know the way, but I can't think of how I know the way. Tell me how. He wanted to make sure. The reason that we read and study the Word is because we want to make sure. Are you reading and studying the Word? Are you sharing your knowledge with other people? Are you discussing it with other people, trying to pull out their knowledge of the Scripture so that you can make sure that you're on the right path? Are you praying to God to lead you in this? Because you don't want to miss this. Thomas said, we don't know the way. He did. He just didn't know it. He didn't know that he knew. And so Jesus said that. I'm the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't just say, I'm the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. Shouldn't we just be going and poring over our Bibles to find out everything Jesus says about this way? The older I get and the closer I get to eternity, the more I want to find out and the more I want to make sure. But you know what? I don't have any less days, physical days, guaranteed right now than I did when I was 20. I didn't know if I had another day or not. It wasn't until I was about 22 that I started gleaning and poring over things. And I still didn't do that adequately enough. As each day goes by, as each passage is read, I realize more and more not only the love of God, but also the importance of finding the way. Not just for me, but for those I love. Not Brad, not just for Brad, but for his little grandson. This is why we study. We love God. We love Christ. We want to be there. Are you going to be in heaven? Is this your firm plan? Or are you just kind of wisping your way through life? Are you just putting out the hot fires of life? That's easy to do. I'm more guilty of that probably than anyone here, so don't think I'm pointing a finger. But boy, when it comes to hot fires, I find the hottest one, I jump in it, and sometimes it's just like, where did the day go? The week go? Where did 57 go? We have important things to take care of, but the most important is your eternal soul. Are you going to heaven? Luke chapter 20. If you want to know what heaven will be like, maybe it would be best, first of all, to know what you will be like. They were trying to test Jesus. They were trying to be tricky and sneaky with Jesus. They were trying to show Jesus up. And Jesus, in answer to a ridiculous question, gave us a glimpse of what we would be like. The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. Well, an angel is a spiritual being. We're going to be like the angels. Will we be angels? I'm not exactly sure. We'll be like the angels. That'll be enough. I assume we will be angels. But the point is this. We'll be like the angels. We'll be eternal. We'll be in God's presence. We will have things to do that are incredibly important. What are angels? Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? This is what we're signing up for when we're signing up for heaven. I don't want to put it on such base terms, but when we want to go to heaven, this is what we're looking forward to be ministering servants. If you want to be a ministering servant for all eternity, does it not make sense that you become a ministering servant now? Parents, this is why we look after our children. This is why we guide their souls. This is why we insist on certain things. This is why we punish on certain things. This is why we reward on certain things. This is why they're in Bible class and in the worship. This is why we pray together at home. This is why we talk about God and about Christ when we're just out and about in our normal activities, because you're a ministering servant to your children. Some of y'all have wonderful neighbors and wonderful friends. You are a ministering servant to them. Are you allowing them to go to hell because of your respect for their opinion? Or are you a ministering servant? One of the hardest things for me to make the bridge on in this physical life is that what we're going to do in heaven is what we need to be doing now. We need to be ministering servants. We need to look at people's eternal souls. Not in judgment, not as if somehow we are some kind of a spiritual giant, but because we are ministering servants. We are slaves to the Almighty, and it's a privilege to be a slave to the Almighty. And what a privilege it is to not only be able to serve God in His way, but to help others to do the same. Are you a ministering servant now? Because if you're not, probably you'll miss out on eternity of being a ministering servant. But the beauty is this. If you failed, welcome to the club. But what will you do about it? Our Bible study was in Hosea this morning, and we were reading of the warnings that God had not only for the people of Israel, but the people of Judah. He called them an adulterous people. He called out their sins and was very plain. He told them what type of a punishment they would have. And then at the end of it, well, before that, he said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. But then at the end of it all, he said, you can come back. You can enjoy the winter and the spring rains. You can be refreshed. You can come back to God on His terms. Where are you at in your life? Are you going to heaven? Are you going to take part of that? Are you going to marvel when Christ comes back? Or will you grovel? Will you be part of those who rejoice for all eternity and serve for all eternity? Or will you be part of those who are shut out, not because God wanted to shut you out, but because that was your choice? And He'll honor your choice. The invitation's open. Maybe you're not a Christian yet. Maybe you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you're sorry for your sins. Maybe you've even told others you believe that Christ is the Son of God. You've acknowledged that before men, but you've not had your sins washed away. So you still have your sins. If you're ready to become a Christian today, we'd love to help you with that. Maybe you are a Christian and you've just fallen away. Again, you can take care of that right where you sit. You can take care of that this week. You can get on your knees in prayer and you can ask God for forgiveness. You can go to His Word for guidance and you can change. But if you'd like the prayers of the congregation, we'd be honored to pray for you as well. If you have needs now and want to respond to the gospel's call, won't you do that while we stand and sing?